wanted to get Jan on for another 20 minutes because I was jumping in a lot because I want to have so many points. He's such an expert. I want to pretty much give him the floor the next 20 minutes. He did all the other side issues and angles to this. But if you see me kind of wringing my hands here, I realize that the economic recovery plan that Trump had that was working well is totally derailed now. It's only getting worse. And the globalists need us bankrupt to bring in the Great Reset. Global famine, global war, that's their plan against humanity and the Great Awakening. And so when I say focus on Trump and a leverage point, that's why I asked that question five times and Jan's done with him, and I understand that. But I'm going to ask the listeners later when we open the phones, what do you think we can do to get Israel and Netanyahu, who controls the U.S., but a larger issue, it's not just about Israel's Greater Israel Project, it's about this global war and attacking the West and collapsing the world economy to bring in the new system, just like COVID was designed to do. So I'm done talking about that. I'll bring it up after Michael leaves us. But so many other angles. What else is on your radar? What should people know from one of the leading experts on geopolitical systems like this?
Well, I think we'll see more and more infrastructure destroyed. I would not doubt, for instance, Mosul Dam might fall at some point in Iraq. I first wrote about that in maybe 2006 or so. I would not doubt even Three Gorges Dam in China. I mean, if that were to happen, that would be unbelievable. And in the United States, we could have – it's clear that the United States is also a target. So it's not as if we're just fighting everybody and there's a hope that the United States is going to come out fine on the other side. It's clear that Americans are being destroyed. That's obvious. Whether it's the death jabs or hitting us with the same food issues that others are going to see come down the line, it's clear that the United States is also scheduled for demolition by the same Zionists. That's crystal clear. It's quite obvious. Now, I think you're going to see fighting between Zionists and Chinese in places like Panama. I don't know how open it'll be. Argentina, Thailand, actually, even, and other places. They're clearly going nose to nose in a lot of places. Most people might not notice it because the fighting will probably happen in ways that they don't quite notice, but they're clearly going toe to toe, for instance, in Argentina. Again, I think you may see Argentina go for the Falklands, the Malvinas. When Misak and I went down there and looked about a year ago or so, there was, basically, let's take back Malvinas signs all over Buenos Aires. Malvinas is that's what the Argentinians call the Falkland Islands, which are – anyway, after that, I think they're going to end up going after Brazil. And I'm sure most of the Argentinians don't know this yet. Maliakovsky down in Argentina was just over in Israel seeing the other Maliakovsky because, as you know, Netanyahu's actual name was Maliakovsky. And Malay's name down in Argentina, his name is Maliakovsky too. I mean, they – coincidentally, the same last name. They were just meeting together down in Israel. Now, when about January or November of 2025, Misako and I were at the CPAC in Argentina, and they started off with Viva Estados Unidos, Viva Argentina, and Viva Israel, right? Ben Shapiro spoke there. I mean, Argentina is thick with both Chinese and Zionist. It's very interesting. Buenos Aires is one of the biggest Jewish towns in the world, by the way. A lot of people don't realize that, but after World War II, a lot of Nazis and Zionists went down there, because those guys were running buddies. A lot of people don't get that. They don't like that, but it's the truth. Zionists and Nazis were, they were running buddies, as you well know.
Well, all I can tell you is... We got to have you on for like a two-hour commercial-free because I have to bite my tongue everything you're saying because and I know you're smart, and I didn't think you were crazy, a lot of stuff you said, but I thought sometimes you would kind of take a leap on things. I'll come back in 1 minute and I'll tell it, but I watch your stuff and read it like almost every day. Sometimes I binge on it, and I know you know your facts. Sometimes I thought the conclusions might not be dead on, but they have turned out to be. I'll explain when we come back. Because I remember you, when Malay got in a few years ago, saying he's an Israeli operative, they're going to try to steal the country. And then now Israel's openly saying they're going to draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at theAlexJonesStore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the New Coordinates of Liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Jones. All right, 65 days ago, it's be 66 here in a few hours, there in the Middle East. From all the war games, all the experts, just known one of the most war game things in the world, Trade Hormuz, Iran war. I had family work for the head of CENTCOM for many years as their attaché, and they were going to be classified info, but they were always like, oh God, we're always trying to stop the politicians attacking Iran because this will happen and that will happen, and So this is one of the most known things. And so I come out last year during Midnight Hammer and said that Israel's trying to get us into full war. And then Trump shut it down. And people said, oh, see, you're wrong. It worked great. And I said, well, let's see. And then Israel lied. Mossad lied. Netanyahu lied. Even the IDF told Trump. This now came out 2 weeks ago. No, you're not going to get regime change. But if you want to degrade their weapons, yeah, we're for an attack. But they at least didn't lie. And so now here we are, 65, 66 days in. It's devastating the economy. It's escalating. They control the strait. Trump looks like a fool. And all these little neocon followers are, you know, still just exuberant, saying this is 50D chess. But larger picture, I remember Michael Young a few years ago talking about Mele down in South America and Argentina, saying he's an Israeli operative. He's going to gut the country. And then they're going to take all of this land and turn it into the new Israel. And I knew Israel had some of its biggest settlements there. And Israel has its eye openly on Ukraine, admits that, and openly on Argentina. But then the last 6 months, they've caught Mossad agents, who, I guess when you graduate out of it, and also their military, they make you do a three-month sabbatical there. And they caught them surveying national parks and land next to private property and setting fires everywhere. And then Jan others said, see, we told you. Now Milei will make a deal saying we're going to set up basically Jewish settlements here. Then 3 weeks ago, he does that. And now they're saying if Israel falls in this new world war they're starting, then the new Israel will be Argentina and Ukraine. And I'm just like, I wasn't giving magical powers to Netanyahu, you know, 2 years ago when Yon said this. I knew Israel did bad stuff. The Liberty got covered it. I just didn't make it front and center. I knew Israel was a powerful lobby. They control a lot of our foreign policy. But now it wants eight-front war to control us domestically. Head of the ADL says, we use pagers to blow up Hamas. Let's do it to Americans that say Israel got us in a war. He said, the litmus test is, if you say we caused this war, we're going to blow you up. So they've gone into mad dog, crazy town. Every cliche is now true. And that's why I'm all in, because, like you said, I don't like communist China, but David Rockefeller, the Rothschilds on record, set up Mao, double-crossed Chiang Kai-shek, put him in. China then, 15, 16 years ago, double-crossed them, pulled out. So now the globals are like, that's fine. We'll just play America and China off. We'll have Trump mismanage this fight with China, and then it'll bring everything down, and they sit back and take over financially, but not if we're aware of it. So that's a long rant, but give us your analysis of that and get back to Argentina, because everything you said, they're literally like, we're going to give you the land, and Jews will leave Israel and come here, and then they're burning down settlements to do it, and they're blowing up all the Christian settlements in Lebanon and in the West Bank, and then calling it the Gaza plan. I'm just like, Israel is trying to act as evil as it can, Michael Young, and they don't seem to care. They got the lowest approval rating in the world in Gallup. And exactly, I think Israel gets blown up in this, but it's the detonator to bring in world government, and then all the elites of Israel run to Argentina.
Hmm. Well, keep in mind, one of the Zionist game plans in pre-World War II was to make as many people as possible hate the Jews, because that hate is their compressive force that keeps them together, right? It's a normal psychological operations technique. If you don't have a glue, then you use compression. So they basically make everybody hate you.
And yeah. Israel bombed thousands of synagogues in Spain and Europe and Portugal and Italy and everywhere, and in Iraq and in Syria, to drive Jews into Israel. That is declassified mainstream Israeli news that the Mossad did that.
Right, and then they just blamed it on, you know, Jew hate, but it was really Zionists doing it. You know, it was Theodore Herzl's guys, or at least his, you know, they made their whole new language, you know, the what's his name, Pearl or whatever, from he made the Israeli Hebrew, right? He changed his name to Yehuda. He taught his children to speak the new Hebrew and kind of dissolved Yiddish. One time I picked up an old book on Yiddish, and it was in Yiddish. I thought it was German, and I started reading it, and I thought, wow, this is a strange dialect. And I asked a German professor, I said, what is this dialect? Because I read German, and but I couldn't read all of it. And he said, it's Yiddish. And, you know, but Yiddish is, you know, basically almost verboten in Israel.
And have you noticed that almost all the real Hasidic Yiddish Jews literally hate Zionism?
Oh, big time. I'm on a private chat with some Orthodox Jews. I'm the only one that's not Jewish. Man, those guys, they make me sound like I'm pro-Zionist. I mean, but those guys hate Zionists. They know the Zionists are genociding Orthodox. I mean, they were angry a couple days ago that, you know, that Netanyahu and their crew will want to draft the make war slaves out of the Orthodox Jews and kill them off, do a Ukraine on them, right? And they will, obviously, but the Orthodox will fight back. That, you know, most of them, I think, probably won't answer any draft, or at least they won't answer it in any positive way.
Yeah, we had some of them show up at the office begging us for help just last week, the old office. So mm-hmm. pulling back, let's go back to Argentina, because I could do 10 hours on this. There's Milei saying, with Netanyahu, yeah, we're going to make this the new Israel. And then for decades, they've been sending the Israeli, since Netanyahu got in, the Israeli military over there as their graduation prize to then scope out land. And then now they caught them setting fires everywhere. And I thought, oh, that's just anti-Semitism. Turned out it was true. I mean, the boldness of this, the arrogance of this, and so clearly, what is the master plan? Like you said, push the world into total war. It's bigger than just Israel. It goes all the way up to BlackRock. Needing this crisis, how does this unfold? And I know you say, well, just get ready for total destruction. Can't we work on stopping it? What do we do? I guess we're doing it right now.
It's clear that they have part of the plan, at least, includes colonizing different places around the world, such as Argentina. I think they're going to go for it in Guatemala as well. They're definitely going for it in Panama. They're going for it in certain places in Thailand, which I've talked about extensively before, and Philippines. So, I mean, they're going out in Baja California. They're going out to certain places I think they're making themselves more resilient by a lot of the Israelis are leaving Israel and going to other places. Now, that means Israel itself. You know, I've been saying for a long time that I think the Zionists will genocide they'll use the Israelis to genocide Gaza and genocide Lebanon and other places, but then they'll genocide a lot of the Israelis. I mean, I know what I'm saying. I think, you know, a lot of people say, don't you understand? Zionists would never genocide Israel. I'm like, you know,
what do you think? They had a deal with Hitler, with the Zionists, that nobody could get out unless they paid the Zionists and Hitler a bounty to Hermann Goering and moved to Palestine. But let's just stop right there. It is a fact that Israel is doing everything it can to destroy its name. It is a fact that Israel is doing everything it can to scapegoat Jews in general. And the dumb Nazis go, oh, God, you're defending Jews. No, you haven't read the Pulitzer Prize-winning books. It's mainline history, not the stuff pop history. Mainline history. Steve Pachinik's dad, Jewish. You'll kill in World War II. FDR wouldn't let him get here. He went to Cuba, got in. He knows all this. He exposed it all. This is history. It is a fact that before Hitler even got in, he had deals with the Zionists to let them manage and force the Jews out of Germany. People just can't listen. You have Simon Wiesenthal. They never hunted down real Nazis, mm-hmm. folks. They hired all the top Nazis that survived, would get them released out of prison to literally be – the Mossad was set up by top SS officers and run by them in assassination teams, not to kill other Nazis, but to go kill – the officials in Egypt when they were getting ballistic missiles from Russia and all over the place. Guys, just top in. Israel hired top Nazis. The U.S. didn't just have a paperclip. and a rat line. Israel had an even bigger one. Klaus Barbie, all those guys were protected. Guys, just type into Google, the most decorated guy in German, Otto. He was...
The SS officer with the Sikorsky with his
Sikorsky
with his nice dueling scar.
Yeah. He basically advised them on the whole setup. I mean, think about that, because you tell somebody that, though, it just sounds crazy. Yeah. Guys, type in the SS officer that worked for Mossad. Go ahead.
Did you see his funeral photos where there was Jewish people at his funeral?
Yes, in Spain.
The SS. Yeah. Yeah, in Spain, that's right. I mean, it's. I've got a book right over here, actually, about Nazis cooperating with the Zionists. They worked hand in hand together. They were best buddies. I mean, because the Zionists wanted to get Israel because of Suez Canal. I mean, Israel is such an important piece of real estate there. That's what it's all about. This is about routes, resources, and ideology. In this case, the ideology is weaponized in service to routes and resources. Every war you've ever studied in your whole life, whatever it is, it's about routes, resources, and ideology. It doesn't always include ideology, but sometimes they're only about ideology. But in this case, it's routes, resources, and ideology. That's what this is all about. In this case, the ideology is weaponized in service to routes and resources. I mean, the Suez Canal, Ben Gurion Canal, if they get it open, in the Indo-European corridor, Haifa, that gas, the energy off of Gaza, Israel is very important. And there's going to be a knockdown drag out for all of that land over there. I think the Gulf states, I call them the 1922 synthetic countries, I think they're going to be, in one way or another, dissolved. I think places like Jordan and Syria also, and obviously they're going for Lebanon right now, and Israel itself. Israel synthetic as well, 1948. There were all those countries on the Arabian Peninsula and Lebanon and Israel as well. Those were all formed synthetically in service to getting routes and resources. That's what it was all about.
Absolutely. So Israel has been bragging in its newspapers. All the newspapers are saying it's a horrible idea. I want to be clear. Israel's not monolithic. There's a lot of people saying this is terrible. We're going to be the new superpower. America's going to fall because of debt. We'll be the new crossroads because it'll be backed by the banks. We will now be the superpower. Talk about delusions of grandeur here. And even if Netanyahu dies of cancer, which he supposedly has, it doesn't look healthy, prostate cancer and stuff, they're saying the other guy is just as bad, and he's calling for attacking Turkey, not just Lebanon. So this is insane.
I think they'll go for Turkey, and there's various reasons for that. And that's also partly why I think they will probably end up taking out Mosul Dam as well. Again, I first wrote about Mosul Dam in maybe 2005 or six, something like that. But Mosul Dam, I think they're going to end up taking that out. But going for Turkey, they're going to want to close the Turkish Straits for various reasons. So, that would not be difficult to do, to close the Turkish Strait. And I think they're going to go for that. I think they're going to go for the Danish Strait at some point as well.
All right, I keep jumping in because you're so on target. You've got to send me, because I can't remember all your predictions. I know you're busy, but we need to do a two-hour commercial free, just because the stuff you said is evergreen from 2-3 years ago. It's just all happening. But instead of that, tell me what else is going to happen. And again, I know you won't say it, but what can we do?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to vote your way out of this. That's pretty clear. And, I mean, because... Who's going to replace Trump? It's an entire ecosystem of people. The United States, by the way, and this is very important. I think when these famines really kick off, that human osmotic pressure, that hop, the human osmotic pressure is the push and pull of migration. Once you've got these huge famines, I think at that point you're going to see the Darien Gap and other places is going to just blast wide open, right? Camp of the Saints, ships coming right up to the United States. I would not be surprised to see ships come right up the Mississippi River and go as far north as they can get and start dropping off tens of thousands of people. I would not be surprised at all. In fact, I would expect it. And I think if Americans don't stop that, they'll just be killed. I mean, Americans will just be genocided. It's clear. I think you can see the writing on the wall that they will start a draft in the United States. They're going to draft as many, they're going to Ukraine it. As many Americans as they can, they're going to get killed off. Then they're going to replace them with those people that you just had on the video. The people that were coming through the Darien Gap and other places, they're going to be the U.S. Army. Keep in mind, we got some serious artillery on these bases and serious rockets and helicopters and everything else. You know, I can only imagine what can be done from flat-footed at Fort Bragg, just shooting artillery from the base, you know, at the nearby towns. I mean, the government, if our military is captured, which is clearly what they're moving to do, is do a Ukraine. You know, they'll end up, you know, making a new Ukrainian army. They'll do the same in Ireland, right? They'll do the same in Hispaniola, down in Dominican Republic. They'll do it in all these places. This is normal. Remember, the reason special forces even exist, I mean Green Berets, was after World War II, the OSS was gone, so now came CIA and Green Berets. What did Green Berets do? They're designed to help raise up foreign armies, right? And often what they do is raise up internal armies. Like, for instance, when I was as a war correspondent in Iraq and Afghanistan, we went in there and started raising up Iraqi army and ANA, Afghan National Army. Now, what were those eventually supposed to do? Eventually, those were being designed to attack Iran, but we failed in Iraq and Afghanistan. But those armies were being built up to do that. You know, it's funny. I was looking at some old manifest records from in the 1850s, actually, about – anyway – And there was an entry in there about the U.S. Navy in Hawaii raising up Hawaiians to be in the U.S. military and how smart and good they looked in their uniforms and drilling and that sort of thing. In other words, raising up Hawaiians to go after Hawaiians. This is normal, you know, and using Indians to go after Indians. You know, this is absolutely normal. It's Special Forces 101. I mean, the Romans were doing it. It's been done all over the world. It's being done right now all over the world.
Well, here's the thing. I love my listeners because most of them are super hardcore, really smart. They've all got a lot of disciplines. We open the phones, a lot of them call in and know things I don't know. So we have one of the most educated, informed audiences out there, but still a large portion
you
of
do.
Them think when I'm like, hey, we're not going to win this right away. It's going to jack up prices. We're going to get sucked into full war. Then he'll send in ships. Then they'll get attacked. And we'll have boots on the ground. These are threat escalation ladders, known battle plans by the military. It's not like I just thought this. They understand this has all been war game. And so here we are, and people don't understand. We're not just hyping up disaster here. We're already in this. We're already going into the wood chipper. And it's so... And the globalists think the public's so dumb, they'll manage the crisis of famine and war and crisis and, you know, oh, Iran has attack dolphins. They deserted. Meanwhile, Iran doesn't have a marine mammal program. The U.S. has the biggest and has the dolphins trained to put mines on boats, and they show it. But every time we attack somebody, we have to. They're being mean to dolphins. I mean, the fact that we have to go down, have a global depression, a new world war, and tens of millions of dead because the American people have had it easy so long. And they're being mean to dolphins. It's just the level of propaganda is disgusting.
I think you're going to see billions dead at this rate. I don't think it'll be tens of millions. They're going for the big time.
That's the globalist answer to the global awakening. The virus wasn't a good enough reset for you. How about a nuclear war? You're right. Most experts agree this is just going to cascade into full war. Go ahead. Sorry.
I think some of them actually want to have a nuclear war. I mean, they think that they can live it out through their bunkers, and maybe they can. You know, maybe some of them will survive. But at the end of the day, it would not be hard to get a nuclear war triggered. You've talked about many times how it could be a false flag in the United States. You know, that could happen right now, and so it's clear that they would. Look at 9/11. I mean, 9/11, you know, for years, I would not even entertain the thought that that was an inside job because I was so far, I thought our government would never do that. You obviously thought that they would, but you saw earlier than I did. But, you know, at some point, it became clear that these things were part of the way that business is done as usual, but our government is highly predatory towards us as well, right? Actually, the more you look at historically at these things, you see the United States itself is basically one giant company town. I mean, my family came over in 1609 with the Virginia Company. That was a company town, you know, and Jamestown was a company town, Virginia Company of London. They sold shares and that sort of thing and got it going, selling tobacco. It's normal. We had company towns all over America. Nobody even knows how many. I got a whole bunch of books on them here. I can't even read them all, so many company towns. It's fascinating, actually. But that's what you see. You know, how I found a book the other day in a New Zealand antique bookstore or online, and I'm trying to get my hands on it, actually. And they're talking about how to colonize New Zealand, right? And how to, this is an old book from 1850s. And so they're talking about how to colonize New Zealand. And this is normal. You see this all over the world, whether it was Panama, whether it was, you know, everywhere. I've got one book from 1700, exactly 1700. It's the Scottish, very angry that the Spanish and the English actually had thwarted their attempts to make a corridor across Panama through Darien, right? That's why Scotland got absorbed by England into the United Kingdom of England and Scotland.
By the way, let me ask you that question, because as I read more Rockefeller Foundation documents and UN documents, and the British ones, you went back even 150 years, they go, we got to stop the Americans because they were infected by the Scottish spirit. And in all these official, even modern documents, they talk about the Scottish spirit of rebellion in America. The Scots were key in Texas and other things. But it's weird, their obsession with the Scots. Very strange.
Yeah, but the Scots, they have a certain reputation, especially Scots-Irish, which is my culture, and I assume it's probably yours. I mean, the way that you are. But the Scots-Irish just have they're fighting dogs, you know, and we're bred for that, basically. You know, they're not, Scots-Irish are not Scottish, and they're not Irish. They're a whole different, you know, Ulster Scots. They're a different brand.
Yeah, explain what that is. And, no, it turns out I had my genetics fully done, now we did the whole litany. I thought I was mainly German and Welsh, which I am a lot German and some Welsh, but I'm actually almost, it's like 40% Scots-Irish. I mean, a lot of my family, I knew on my dad's side was, but I didn't realize how much on my mom's side, too. But they were all founders of Texas.
Scots-Irish are like a mix.
You go ahead.
Scots-Irish are like a mixture between a Rottweiler and a Border Collie. It's like, you know, they'll fight, but they think it through, you know, and they're famous for that. That's why the reason Scots-Irish were formed, actually, in the way that we were talking about earlier. The English used the Scottish to fight the Irish. And then over a long period of time, the Scottish married into the Irish because they had a habit of doing that. And they became an entirely different culture called the Scots-Irish. There's a book about that called Born Fighting by Webb, a former senator. I read that book. Very interesting book.
And that's exactly what the British talk about, is the Scots-Irish particularly. Exactly. And that was the main detonator in Texas Revolution. And in the 1776.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
I mean, you got towns all over Texas named after Scots-Irish. A bunch of our presidents and Apollo astronauts and that sort of thing. But the Scots-Irish, they were also out there to fight the Cherokee and everything. The Scots-Irish were the ones that were used to really do big fighting against Indians because they but one of the things that Scots-Irish often did was marry into Indians as well.
I know, yeah.
Another fascinating story. Yeah.
Well, that's how you put your spies in.
Yeah, I mean, well, and they married into him like
honestly. No, I know. That's my family, too. That's how it happened. Dude, three more minutes, we come back and let you go. No, it's 3 a.m. in Japan. Let's finish up with Scots-Irish. You're such a historian. Tell us about Born
Fighting. That's a great book. I love that book, man. I told one of my old Green Beret teammates, he lives in West Virginia now. He's a bear hunter. I told him, you got to read that book, you know, because he's Scots-Irish. And he read it, and he goes, yep, that's me. I said, I know it is, Bob.
Well, did you know that in the British intelligence manuals, they talk about the Scots-Irish all the time and how it's an evil spirit they got to defeat. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, but Scots-Irish are difficult to beat, and that's the backbone of our country.
I have been very blessed and honored in 32 years on air and 28 years of InfoWars to have seen the whole world change. When I first got started, almost nobody knew about the globalists. People were literally in the dark. Look how far we've come. We are exposing them. Jeffrey Epstein, the pedophile rings, the poison COVID shots, the open borders, the global wars, the 5G, all of it is coming out. Humanity is rallying. This is the fourth turning. This is the great awakening. It is the answer to their great reset. I am so proud of humanity, and I'm so thankful to all the viewers and listeners who over the years have supported us by prayer, word of mouth, and financial support at TheAlexJonesStore.com. So So InfoWars has been shut down, but we've launched the Alex Jones Network. We plan to crank this sucker up. We got new studios, they're even bigger, being built. And we want to go 19 hours a day live by the end of 2026 from 5 a.m. until midnight. So if I build it, will you come? Yes, I know you will. So now more than ever, go to thealexjonesstore.com and get incredible supplements. Our methylene blue is the best. Our methylene red is proprietary. Our bovine colostrum, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, incredible collectible knives, and so much more. You are literally financing the tip of the spear and the resistance that the tyrants and the globalists hate above everything else. InfoWars is a proven winner. They have a URL. They have an old studio. That means nothing. You are the InfoWar. And if you accept this mission, if you take action, if you spread the word, if you share our links, alexjoneslive.com, the news site, the live feeds, the articles, the videos, it's incredible. If you share the feed with everybody you know at alexjonesapp.com, the free Droid or Apple download of the app, it is insane. All the power lies with you. That's why when callers call in and thank me, I say, thank me. I would fight this no matter what. I'd fight it in a ditch. I'd fight if I was homeless. We're all in this together. You have all the power, but you have to use the power now. Share the feeds to alexjoneslive.com. Share the URL, alexjonesapp.com. And go to thealexjonesstore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel to wear your uniform of liberty openly and proudly. It's such an adventure to wear this apparel and to get the incredible supplements that will empower your life so you'll know how real this is. I only sell stuff that really works, so I want you to get it and take it and love it and have a great response. We have a 90+% reorder rate. So many of you are on the fence. Take action now. Step into a wider world. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and support this broadcast. But regardless, take the feed, take the live links at alexjoneslive.com/show and on Rumble and Relox Shows on X, the Alex Jones Show on Rumble, and share those links, and it changes the world. You are unstoppable when you decide to get up at the plate and take action. This is real. This isn't hype. You've seen the results. Now the ball's in your court. AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action. You are the reincarnation of Paul Revere. You are unstoppable. The globalists are in deep crap. Take action now at AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. And I want to be clear. I don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Network, does. We've got a major deal with Rumble to push our information. It's already top on Rumble, but to supercharge it. The most important coordinate in this fight is rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. We are already at the top of Rumble, but we're going to go even further partnering with them. This is the Coordinates of Liberty. Take action right now at rumble.com/Alex Jones Live, and we are unstoppable. The power of humanity is unstoppable if you simply unleash it now.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
It's like 3 o'clock in the morning in Japan. I'm going to let this real that geopolitical expert, amazing journalist, most famous combat journalist living, hands down, and of course former Green Beret, Michael Yon, finish up. But I didn't mean to go off on a jag about the Scots-Irish, because I read a lot of history books and you know, stuff about the Plains Indians and stuff about the East Coast Revolutionary War. But then as I, you know, obviously the British, and I'm not trying to demonize English people in general, but the British Empire system, and how it got people in control, and their 400 plus years of war with Scotland, and then of course Ireland as well, they have the bagpipes, and now they have the brigades, and they have the, you know, their Scottish troops, and they build it up, and King Charles, you know, wears the Celt and all that. But they particularly, when you get into globalist documents, they say the Revolutionary War and everything else that happened in Western expansion was a Scotch-Irish. And you notice, Jan, such a historian, knows more than I even do, but I remember reading this in history books, when they needed to take over an area or there were certain natives that they couldn't beat, they would then send in the Scotch-Irish, well, the whole families, they would send them in. Of course, that's what Andrew Jackson was.
Of course, he was a Revolutionary War hero, like ages 10 to 16, and that his mother and brother killed in a concentration camp. His dad died working the land before the war. It's just amazing. You do look at the founding of Texas, it was the key people in it were a lot of them were Scotch-Irish. So I didn't mean to go off on a jag about that. It's just very, very interesting that when you read in all these Loebel's documents, they're really upset about that and saying, if we can just kill this Western resistance to our globalist plan. So the globalists want to kill the West, and when they talk about who they really don't like, and they attack all the groups, the Germans and you know everybody, but they don't like the Irish, who they're flooding with all the illegals, but they really are obsessed with the Scotch-Irish, who Jan pointed out were the attack dogs brought in to attack the Irish, and that went on for hundreds of years, but then they actually got absorbed and then turned around. They kind of made a great hybrid creature. It's just interesting how the globalists were able, with a few thousand troops and tens of thousands of functionaries, to conquer India when it had hundreds of millions of people in the great game, divide and conquer. They did it with sociology, anthropology, studying groups, playing them off against each other, and they found again and again and again, and I go back to my Scott-Irish family on my dad's side particularly, it wasn't just that they were trying to marry Native Americans so they could infiltrate them. I was joking. That was survival because a lot of my ancestors were in the genealogy. Some of them were like 100. The men, they'd have like 3-4 wives, and they not at one time. Wife one would die. Wife two would die. Wife three would die. Wife four would die. And then some of my ancestors had like 30, 40 kids because they had to work the land, all the rest of it, you know, drive the wagons down to Galveston and the family Bible, I mean, you know, shootouts with bandits and all the rest of it. I mean, this was just amazing culture, and it was mainly Scotch-Irish on my dad's side over there that was here at the start of the war, and he got the Spanish land grants even before it from Santa Ana. But it's just so interesting to see that, and then exactly that's why I've got some Native American blood, was because ancestors on both sides of my dad's family, and when they track the genealogy back, their second wife or third wife died, they would then marry a Native American woman. And so that's just so interesting that Michael Jan knows that. Damn, how many books have you read? Because I get this from family and my own research. And, you know, every subject, you know all about it. It's crazy.
Oh, man, I got the actual Dawes rolls, the original Dawes rolls right here. You know, you know how many Scots-Irish think they're part Cherokee? I used to play cowboys and Indians when I was a young boy, as most of us probably did. Then I was told I'm part Cherokee, so I started playing Indian and cowboys. I was like, I can kill those cowboys. but then I grew up and became a researcher and realized I'm not part Cherokee, which is still very disappointing. But I've got the Dawes rolls. You know the Dawes rolls, right?
Yeah, tell folks about that.
Oh, I've got the 1890 original 1890 census of taxed and untaxed Indians, and I've got like probably 30 or 40 books on civilized tribes. All these books, these are the Smithsonian studies right here. Can you see? Oh, I got all these books.
Super interesting.
These books right here are the Smithsonian studies. I've got the original, all the originals of all, you know, the studies of all the Native Americans across the United States. That's the anthropological warfare you were talking about, right? I got so many you wouldn't believe. I got three rooms.
Well,
like
we've done
this.
Our genealogy. I'm related to some Cherokee, one other group I always forget the name of. But then growing up, they didn't want to say with my dad's grandmother, who lived like 103, and her real name was Moon, but she had another name she used. She was half Native American, and growing up, they told her, don't say what tribe you were. Can you guess which one that was? That they sent all the kids away to be reeducated?
Probably Choctaw or Chickasaw. Yeah.
Comanche.
Comanches. Oh, I got quite a bit on Comanches. Comanches were serious dudes. Actually, you know, the Taliban fight very similar to Comanches. I wrote one book. I read one book called the something about the summer moon, right?
And that's about Quanah Parker. I'm told I'm vaguely related to him.
That's right, Quanah Parker.
Yeah,
that's right. And you know, because they fight, the Taliban fight similarly. Actually, you know, doing these long movements at night with the moon right and everything. But the Apaches, you know. Anyway, not to go into that because we could talk for hours. But you know, a lot of Scots-Irish people think that they're part Cherokee. Sometimes they'll say Choctaw or Chickasaw. Or they don't usually say Creek, but some will. But mostly it's
Well, the Cherokee were the most prolific at business and everything. They were good survivors. So they were the smart ones didn't all get wiped out.
Yeah. In fact, I just got a message from a Cherokee Scots Irish blend just like a couple hours ago. He's off in the war right now, you know, and he actually grew up speaking Cherokee. And there's not many people like that. But it's interesting because a bunch of the books, anyway, most of my Indian books are in the other.
There's Quanah Parker.
There he is. There it is right there. And a very famous man right there. Yeah. This was so fascinating. We could go on for hours about this, but you know, the Scots Irish, like, which is my culture, you know, we have no use for weak women. You know what I mean? It's like, and that's another thing that that I think a lot of the globalists don't like, you know, because I was at a table with a bunch of women a few years ago and they were doing the whole anti-gun thing. And I was like, to the whole table, I was like, y'all are worthless. I mean, what would a man want with a woman who can't shoot a bear? And they were shocked because I think that they actually sensed that I was dead serious. You know what I mean? It's like, you're all pretty and rich. Who cares, man? You're got long.
No, there's nothing sexier than a woman that knows how to skin a buck and run a trot line and jump over fences on a horse.
There you go.
And that's real conservatives want powerful women. It's the left that turns everybody into jellyfish.
I want as strongest woman as I can get. You know what I mean? It's like, there's a bear. I can take that bear. You know what I mean? You know, it's like, that's what Scots Irish want. They need a strong woman you got to have a strong woman to handle the Scots
Irish. Well, I was thinking about the Scots Irish when they would get, like, Andrew Jackson, he did a recruitment out of Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, all of it. And he literally said, send an army of Scots Irish down there. You know, he did that 10 years before. People say, like, I mean, you know, that was all set up. The Texas Revolution was a setup. I mean, we came in here on purpose to do that.
No, you know, a lot of the people watching your show are special operations. But, you know, a lot of the special operations, I don't know how it is now, but, I mean, that's basically like a meeting spot for Scots Irish. And that's another thing that globalists don't like, because a huge amount of people in special operations through the years have been Scots Irish. I don't know how it is right now, though.
But I'm saying that's recognized by the globalists, a continued threat. It's interesting.
Right. But in any case, the history of the United States, and I wish we had like 2 days, Alex, because this is so fascinating. It's like, which road do you want to go down and talking about these things? But, you know, when it comes down to mapping people and doing census of people, that's always a sign that somebody's about to get you, right? And doing atrocity porn. Like, a bunch of my books right here are about, I wish I had known we were going to talk
about this. Well, let's do like a 3-hour commercial free extravaganza. Yeah. You just tell me where you want to go. We'll do it.
Yeah, I'll pull out some books. There's so many things that we could talk about. One would be great to talk about anthropological warfare. And now it may seem boring not to you, you know, it's not boring, but for a lot of people that don't understand what anthropological warfare is, it might seem boring or, you know, sort of out in left field until you start to hear and understand it more. And then you're going to get into it. Then you're going to go
define anthropological warfare. Define it.
Well, for instance, there's many things you can do with the study of anthropology, but one is like these books here, the ethnographical studies actually of the Native Americans by the Smithsonian. This was used to take their land, right? In one of my other library rooms over here, I've got all of
you're talking about divide and conquer, great game.
Oh yeah, and one of I've got all of the Department of War studies and reports to the Senate on building the railroads. And a big part of those, I think it's 10 books, a big part of those reports by the Department of War to the Senate, this would have been in the 1850s. I got them right in my next room, originals. There, it's about, you know, which Indians live there, which frogs, which cactus.
And whatever, how to play them off against each other.
Oh, absolutely. Because keep in mind the way that, and we're talking about globalists back then, you know, Manifest Destiny is basically, you know, the great game called Manifest Destiny, right? It's a great game part America, Manifest Destiny. And so manifest your destiny. And when you look at the painting from 1872, the Manifest Destiny, or it's actually called American Progress, you know, Columbia, remember before Uncle Sam, there was Columbia, the woman.
Let's pull that painting up. American Progress, 18 what painting?
1872.
American Progress painting, 1872. American Progress painting, 1872.
And let me explain that painting when they pull it up. I got that blown up big in my other library room. I got a huge blow up of it. There it is. Okay, that woman there, that's Columbia, right? She's floating up. That's like Columbia was replaced by Uncle Sam, right? So back in the old days, there she is. Notice in her left hand, she's unfurling a telegraph cable, right? In her right hand, she's holding a book that says school book. On her head is a star. She's going to make a new state. Now behind her, it's lighted. That's the east. That river back there is the Mississippi River. And you can see it's light because that's where we brought civilization already, right? And so you can see the three railroads, of which I've got the original studies right in my next library room here. And those railroads are going, and notice how they're pushing that wagon down there says post, that's U.S. Postal. But notice they're pushing the Indians in front of them. Can you put that back up? I mean, that painting is—
Yes, we'll put it back up.
Possible.
By the way, Columbia is over the Texas Capitol with the Lone Star on her crown. And at the Battle of San Jacinto, they had a giant banner, took like five guys to carry, of her in front of them in the war.
That's wild. I didn't know that. And look, you see, now look, they're pushing the Indians out in front and pushing the bears. There's a bear in there and a wolf, and they're pushing the buffalo as well. And you see the darkness, and you see in the upper left, that's the snow-capped mountains of the Rocky Mountains. And they're going towards California, the Pacific. So this is 1872. Keep in mind, 1872 was when Seward completed his first very serious reconnaissance of
Survey.
Panama, right? I have that original report, as a reconnaissance in Panama. So meanwhile, we were mapping out Japan and mapping out all these other things and starting to colonize Hawaii. We'd been colonizing Hawaii at least 50 years already. They had already built up part of the army 20 years before that painting came out. So, I mean, the Hawaiian army made of Hawaiians, right? But the point is this was all part of, you know, the United States was born of globalism. Our country is a globalist enterprise. That's what it is. That's where all the people came to fight, right? I mean, the big players all came to America. To duke it out.
And now, in closing, Israel is openly having its own manifest destiny, Greater Israel, and thinks America's going to back it.
I call it Zion Fest Destiny, right? And the Chinas, I call that one China Fest Destiny, because the Chinese
explain. They are the most head-to-head. They are the most homogeneous group. They have their own plan, don't they?
Oh yeah, the Chinese have well. China's not really homogenous, but the Han Chinese part is.
Well, the dominant China, group. No, I understand. China. I'm saying one of the most. Go ahead.
Wow, look at that big. That's giant. I didn't even know that was there.
Yeah, it's the tallest capital in the U.S., Texas capital. Got Columbia on top of it.
That's amazing. Well, that was the original Uncle Sam right there. That was her, right? And so the Texans know that, obviously. And so, because there it is.
Let's say what it was. It was goddess worship. I mean, they literally had our banners at the Alamo, San Jacinto, all of it.
Yeah.
Have you been to the war memorial for World War I and stuff and for the Napoleonic Wars in London? It's giant goddesses being carried on chariots, and they're always pointing forward, and they put the war memorial for the dead there as a sacrifice to her. Have you seen that? It's incredible.
No, I haven't. That's pretty amazing. Before late, yeah, isn't it wild? I mean, these things are part of our past that are really intense spiritual fights. Actually, Manifest Destiny was a spiritual fight as much as anything else, right? That was routes, resources, and ideology, and a big component was ideology, but also to get land and that sort of thing. So there was all three components were there simultaneously. Like the missionaries were, you know, out there doing missionary stuff. I got a huge section on missionary work in my other library room here. It's unbelievable. I mean, the mission, if you want to really understand what's going on, just follow the missionaries. And that includes the Jesuits and the Protestants and everything else. Just fascinating things that they were doing. When it came though to Manifest Destiny, that didn't stop at California. That's how I ended up in Japan here. Right. I mean, World Wars were just another bloom of that globalist flower. None of this stuff has ever, this is not, all these wars are not separate. As you know, I mean, I know by the things that you say over the years, these wars are not separate from each other. This is the same war. The U.S. Civil War, This is the same war. What you're seeing going on in Iran, I know it sounds crazy to a lot of people that don't study this maniacally 7 days a week for decades on end, but once you have done that, then it becomes quite obvious.
By the way, I was going to cover this Saturday, but I had a legal emergency with all these lies they filed, which we're going to beat them. We got them really bad now. I knew this, but I hadn't seen it in a while. I noticed on X, they had the map that the Confederacy would have succeeded. They were going to slice the whole bottom half of the U.S. off and a bunch of Mexico and a bunch of other stuff for that new empire. And the British were going to be behind that. We know the British funded the South. And again, I'm not saying the North was perfect, folks, but it was a setup to break up the country. And then the Russians came into Lincoln's aid and the rest of it. But it's just amazing how the British tried to come in and do that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this was a globalist thunderdome. That's how the United States was born. I mean, it was a thunderdome. My family came over in 1609, got shipwrecked on Bermuda with the Virginia Company of London. Made that company town called Jamestown, went straight into fighting the Powhatan Indians. I mean, my ultra-great-grandparents on the eastern side, they're in the book, The Sea Venture. There's a book, or they were on the ship, The Sea Venture, which was the flagship of the
And let's explain the what the British Empire did. They said, we're going to stop fighting these Irish and Scots-Irish. We're going to ship them in there to fight for us.
And they did. That's why they're all out in Appalachia and that sort of thing now, because they were put out there to fight the Cherokee, because the Cherokee were pretty serious people, you know? And so they ended up marrying into the Cherokee and all that. But so when you come to, these company towns were everywhere, right? So, you know, these books right here, actually, these are books on tobacco. This is all, like, this is the history of tobacco. 1507 to 1650.
Which, those that don't know, it was tobacco that literally funded and financed as big as sugarcane and rum. The entire Western, the Portuguese, the Spanish, the British, the French, everybody into the New World.
This was money. All these books are, these five books right here, I've got
coffee.
This much on tobacco in my other rooms here. I mean, tobacco was money. It was huge. And actually, it was adulterated, too. I found one instance, actually, in this book, number two, talking about how the Spanish were adulterating tobacco about 400 years ago. They were putting opium in it or something. The Spanish.
Nothing's new under the sun.
Nope. They were putting opium and other things into the tobacco. It's in a book from 1615, actually. But it mentions that. In this book right here, number two.
Michael Yon, how do people find your Substack and your shows and all you do?
Oh, they can, I'm on Substack, Michael Yon at Big Honey. Man, I wish we had a couple hours, man. I pull these books out. These things are fascinating. I love these books. I'm either, you know,
and there's a lot of stuff in books that aren't online. People think AI is so smart. It's not in the books yet. The books haven't been converted over yet.
No, stuff like that. You have to, and it's much more effective to, like, I got several giant tables like this. I lay out the maps and lay out the books.
Well, hey, you set it up in the next few weeks. Let's you got more energy than I do. You're amazing. Let's do a 3-hour extravaganza. And you are, I know you're always in Japan and Latin America now. Do you still live out in Dripping Springs sometimes?
Oh, I'll be back. I love Texas. I'll be back. But I got some stuff going on now. I have to tell you offline, though. I got something going on. I'll tell you when we're not on the air. But let me show you who this guy is. This guy's name is Kenjiro. He's like my Japanese brother from another mother. In the 1800s, there was a famine he didn't come from very far from here. There was a famine. He sensed that a famine was going to start. And so he started, and his name is Kenjiro, K-I-N-J-I-R-O, Kenjiro, right? So his statue is in all the Japanese schools. Actually, the leftists are taking him out now. But so he saw a famine coming, and he started warning everybody on preparing a lot of the Japanese on what to do so they don't die. So the people that listened to him, they lived. And the people that didn't, many of them died. It was a huge famine, right? Japan's had a lot of big famines. So that's why Kenjiro, you see these statues, he's reading a book, he's working on the farm. But after he saved so many people from that famine, there he is. That's Kenjiro. Yeah. And I've got like six of his statues here because Masako and I are going to make something called Kenjiro House. We'll talk about that some other time.
We're out of time. Come back soon. Let's do it. Michael Yon, incredible job.
Thanks, Alex.
Amazing. really, that guy's an iconoclast. Very, very interesting, very informed. Wow. Okay. We went off on a jag. I was in Panama Canal for 30 minutes with them, then we went off into all this history. Because you got to have all this to know what's going on. That's how you know. You got to have that depth. Now, I'm loaded for bear on Bill Gates releasing deadly ticks. It's all confirmed, just like mosquitoes. I'm loaded for bear on all this. I've got such preparation. I'm prepared so much. So we got 2 hours left, but I also want to take your calls. I'm almost about to not take calls. I wish I could ask the listeners. Do you want me to just talk for 2 hours? I can do that easily. Or do you want me to? We'll do a mix. We'll take calls and hit the news. So we're about to go to break. I'm going to say this again very slowly. You are the brains, the guts, the eyes, the blood, the bones, the will of this operation. And you've seen all the bad guys hate our guts because we know what we're doing. We know how to beat them. We have the spirit of 1776. We know how to crush them. I'm just asking listeners out there, the 99% of you that never bought a product, the 1% that do, God bless you. You're the reason we're still here. You people are crazy that don't get our methylene blue. You're nuts that don't get our methylene red. Our bovine colostrum is the private label, the top brand in the country for like $5 less they sell at stores. I mean, these are great products. And if you go to realalexjones.com, it's the sister site of the alexjonesstore.com, but they always hold back 10% of every product they've got to realalexjones.com from back when it was the only funder of this network when we were just starting it as a backup in the last 2 years. So go to realalexjones.com. Maybe we have the B-roll. They came out with five, remember this 2 weeks ago, trench warfare battle daggers with five limited edition laser inscriptions on them with the skull crusher and the brass knuckles. And they all sold out in 2 days. The 2,000 they had at thealexjonesstore.com. But they held back only like 500 of them or something over at realalexjones.com. They're almost sold out. There's a bunch of other knives there as well. But anything you see that's sold out at thealexjonesstore.com, a lot of times it's still available for a little while at realalexjones.com. But regardless, we got a sale at thealexjonesstore.com right now that's not at realalexjones.com. New ultra methylene blue gummies. And it's the same medical grade we get out of Florida, but I guess the way they make them, these came in a few weeks ago. I took one, and it was like the first time I took methylene blue. I taken it before. It didn't really have a big effect. Ours was so good. Electricity, thinking I was freaking out, whatever. It did it again when I took the gummy a few weeks ago. So I'm taking these. They're amazing. They're going to sell out quickly. 58% off right now. If you subscribe, you can cancel anytime. But you lock in 58% off in perpetuity. One click, cancel for free anytime you want at thealexjonesstore.com. Wide selection of Patriot apparel and so much more. That's what funds the Second American Revolution, the spirit of 1776 worldwide. So get these great products now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. You're really missing out if you don't. Be right back with hour number three.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at TheAlexJonesStore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching alexjoneslive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI under Obama's command launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, alexjoneslive.com, and the link, alexjonesapp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalist. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.